It was about 10 years ago that I started planning a surprise for my wife, a surprise trip that we would go on. It would be the first time in a long time that Heather and I were going to go somewhere alone together, and it was going to be for our anniversary, but I had to plan it months in advance, and Heather didn't know anything about it. It was a surprise, and I got to tell you, it was really hard to keep it a secret. It was really hard not to tell her. I was so excited, I wanted to tell her, but I didn't until the day came. The point is that it's really hard to keep good news a secret. It's really hard not to tell someone when there's something exciting about to happen. And I did have to tell a few people because I just couldn't keep it to myself. That's the way good news works. Well, the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at some scripture in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 5 in particular, and we've seen the good news that God is giving through the prophet, a good news, a message of hope, a message of comfort to people who are in dire straits. They were living in very extreme conditions. And we've seen how the people were told to be prepared to respond. And the end result was in verse 5 that the glory of God will be revealed. And all mankind together will see it. And as you read through Isaiah chapter 40, there's a sense of growing excitement. There's something good building up. And the excitement has to do with the fact that God was going to do something radical. He was going to come and bring comfort to his people who had been lost and seemingly forgotten for 70 years. That a new chapter would be opening up in their lives and the glory of God would be revealed. And so this morning I want us to carry on in Isaiah chapter 40, looking at verses 9 to 11. And reading this, you get the sense that the prophet just can't hold back anymore. He's bursting with good news, and he just has to share it. Listen to the word of the Lord, Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 9. He says, "You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young." You can read the rest of Isaiah chapter 40 sometime, but it's just bursting with excitement. There's some exciting news that is happening. This isn't your everyday kind of news. This isn't just something, you know, common. This is huge. And the news isn't something that could be held back. It wasn't something that you just speak softly at the dinner table. The prophet is saying this is something that needs to be shouted from the mountaintops. Go up, make it public, let the whole world hear. When was the last time you experienced such powerful and profound news that you just had to let it out? There's been some occasions in my life when I had that kind of news. One of them was when Heather said, "Yes, I'll marry you." That was exciting. That was exciting news. Another one was when we found out our first child was coming. That was exciting news. We just had to shout it out. And there were other experiences as well, of course. But when was the last time? Can you imagine? Just imagine for a moment someone you love has been captive for a long time. Imagine that you've waited and waited for someone who has been captured somewhere and you're wondering if they were ever be released. Imagine that you had lost all hope of ever seeing your loved one again. You've grieved, you've mourned, you've lost hope, and then word comes to you that your loved one has been set free. A miracle has occurred. This is news that you wouldn't be able to hold back. You wouldn't be able to just whisper it to somebody. You would want to shout it out loud. You would even stop a stranger in the street and say, "Hey, guess what? My son is coming home." They'd look at you like, "What's wrong with you?" You know? It's that kind of excitement. And that's the kind of excitement that is expressed in Isaiah chapter 40. It's like, it's not that somebody's been gone for months, but it's been years. And it's not that it was just one person, but a whole nation had been lost. A whole nation had been in exile for 70 years. And this news comes. And it wasn't time to just hold it back. It was time to shout it out. Go up on a mountain. Let the whole world hear. Lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. And do not be afraid. And what's the good news? Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. You've been waiting. You've been longing. You've been wondering if you'll ever meet up with him again. But you don't need to wait any longer. Verse 10, see, the sovereign Lord comes with power. And then the next part, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. I got to tell you, some of you notice I'm often in the back holding Flynn during the singing time of our service. And when I'm holding him, I can feel his heart beating. I think it's his heart. Maybe it's my own. I'm not sure. But I can feel the heartbeat anyway between the two of us. It's such a neat experience when I'm holding him close and I can feel his heart. It's really neat. And I think what God is saying in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, look at those words again. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And it just seems to me like what God is saying is, this is how I'm holding on to you. This is how I'm going to hold you. The people had an image of God that God was distant. He was far away. That's the impression people had. And a lot of people have that today too, that God is not involved in my life, that he's far. And the picture in Isaiah 40, verse 11, is just the opposite. It shows us that God is so intimate with us. It's like he's taking you and giving you a bear hug. Can you imagine that? A bear hug from God. That's what's in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. That's the kind of love that God has for you. That's the kind of closeness that God wants you to experience with him. Far from being aloof, God is very personal. He holds you. He wants to feel your heartbeat, so to speak. Back in verse 1, you remember the words, "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. And we looked then at how personal God is. My people, he says, your God. He's not just the people, it's my people, says your God. And here in verse 9, you see that again. The message is, here is your God. Very personal. Verse 11, he tends his flock like a shepherd. I know I've read it a couple of times, but it's so profound. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. That's the kind of God that we serve. and celebrate. And if you go down further in that chapter, verse 21 and on, you can see how God is being described. Let me just read a few verses, verses 21 and 22. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. You get a sense of how powerful and how vast God is. You know, he stretches out the heavens like a canopy. He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. And yet that's the same God who carries you, who wants to feel you close. Verse 25, to whom will you compare me? Who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes up. Look to the heavens. Who created all these? He brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Again, you get the sense of God being immense and powerful and yet so personal. That's amazing. The fact that God is big doesn't mean that God forgets or leaves the little ones. The little lambs belong to him. And you are one of them. He holds you closely to his heart. And what makes Isaiah chapter 40 so relevant to us as we come to Christmas is that the good news of Christmas is really a duplicate, a copy of the good news in Isaiah chapter 40. Or maybe to put it more accurately, Isaiah chapter 40 is a foreshadow of the real good news coming at the birth of Christ that we celebrate each year at Christmas. Like Isaiah chapter 40, the coming of Christ, that first Christmas, represents a new chapter in the lives of God's people. It represents new hope. God did not forget his people. And he came. And he carries you close to his heart. John chapter 1 puts it this way. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. Just like it had prophesied back in Isaiah 40 verse 5. The glory of the Lord will be revealed and all mankind will see it. When Jesus came, that's exactly what happened. The Word became flesh. God has come, just like it was said in Isaiah 40. And he came in the birth of Christ. And the glory of the Lord indeed has been revealed. Christmas isn't simply a celebration of lights and trees and gifts, and oh, so much food. We enjoyed some of that last night. We'll enjoy some more tonight. Christmas isn't about Santa Claus and greeting cards and parties. Above all else, Christmas is a profound, almost unimaginable good news that needs to be shouted. Here is your God. That's what Christmas is about. Here is your God. Today, just like it was in Isaiah's day, just like it was in the wise men's day, to the lonely, the message of Christmas is here is your God. To the grieving, wondering how to live with the pain of loss, Christmas brings the answer. Here is your God. And he is carrying you close to his heart. to the sick and the wounded, wondering if God has all but forgotten them. Christmas says, here is your God. And he invites you, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. To the dying, wondering what awaits them after they've taken their last breath on earth, Christmas tells them, here is your God. He will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. To the confused, lost in the world of uncertainty, not knowing where to turn or who to hope in or what to believe, Christmas is a bold announcement. Here is your God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That, friends, is what Christmas is about. Not who will buy the most expensive gift, or which party has the most free drinks, or which house has the best lights in front. It's about God coming to earth. It's about God saying, hey, I am here for you. I'm here for you. I want to hold you. I know your pain. I know your loss. I know your confusion. And I am here for you. The Word became flesh, John 1:14 tells us, and made his dwelling among us. That is Christmas. That is John's version of the same message in Isaiah 40. Here is your God. Let's not miss him. And I want to say to you this morning, if you've been missing God, if you could relate perhaps to the Hebrew people who were in exile for 70 years and wondering where God is and what's God doing and when's he going to show up and how is he going to work and what's he going to do with my pain? If you're one of the ones who are grieving or hurting, maybe dying or confused, the good news of Christmas is the same. Here is your God. He holds you. That is the greatest thing we need. He is here especially for you. Our part is to receive him. To those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Our part is to receive him. Invite him into your life. You can do that simply by talking to him. He's here. Here is your God. If you've been searching, if you've been wondering, he is here. If you don't see him, if you can't understand him, ask him to reveal himself to you. He will do it. He's not in the business of hiding from you today. He is here. Ask him to come into your life, to forgive, to comfort, to heal, to restore. Let's see what wonders God will do in your life. That's what Christmas is about. Here is your God. Jesus came to bring good news, to heal the brokenhearted, to release captives, to set prisoners free, essentially to tell the world, here is your God. And at Christmas, we have the best opportunity to shine forth the light and love of Christ to an often dark and dying world. Sometimes God reveals himself directly to a person, and he does. But many other times, God reveals himself through someone like you. You and I are not God. Far from it. Let's be clear on that. But we are made in the image of God, and we are called to be a reflection of God to someone who is lonely or grieving or sick or wounded, perhaps dying or confused. That person can look at you and recognize, here is God. Here is God working, ministering through this person. And so this morning, really all I wanted to say is, first of all, if you haven't already, you need to receive the good news. Here is your God. Receive him. He's wanting to come into your life. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." We need to receive Christ. The first part is to receive the good news. Here is your God. And then the flip side of that is, when you have that good news, to reflect that good news to those around you, that others too might see, here is God working in and through you. And friends, in my mind, that's the best way we can celebrate Christmas, to receive the Christ and then to reflect him to the dark and dying world around us. Here is your God. Go tell it on the mountain. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, there is such good news in your word. And yes, Lord, we don't walk with blinders on. We know that there are many, many difficulties, many trials, many people. Our prayer list is long of loved ones who are hurting. You've heard us cry out to you many times for them. And yet, Lord, even in the face of that, we know, Lord God, that you are God and that you hold us, your people, close to your heart. And that doesn't mean that the pain will always be taken away, but that you will hold us, that you will carry us even, that you will walk with us. And Lord, I want to thank you for that. Thank you for the good news of hope that is in the Christ child. Thank you, Father God, for your presence with us here today. And I pray that if there is anyone here who today is feeling like they don't know you, I pray, Father God, that even right now, in the quietness of this place, they may just quietly lift their heart to you and say, Lord God, I want to know you. I want to receive you. I want you to come into my heart. I want you to reveal yourself to me. I need you to forgive me. I know I've messed up. Would you walk with me? Would you carry me? Would you hold me in your hands? And Lord, I pray that if there is any this morning who prays something along those lines, I pray, Father God, that you would just hold them and receive them and pour out your profound blessing upon them. And for all of us who know you, I pray, Father God, that you would just work in us and through us and help us to be a reflection of you to those around us, many of whom are carrying deep pain, Lord God. Be a blessing through your people, that we may all together share the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.